Hello and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. I am Farah Bashir and joining me...
Richard Fitzgerald, Monday the 10th of June.
Which is very exciting, honestly. I'm very excited for the Eid holiday.
However, I'm very excited for the week's work, but here we go. What are we talking about today?
So, for today we have the Emirati's father's viral tweet lands on a dream job offer from Amar founder, as well as Starbucks reports global sales decline of 1.8% amid boycotts, biggest drop in the U.S. market in years, and Egyptian customer orders $631 iPhone 13 from Amazon. However, he received a pack of local tea, which is kind of like a funny story, to be honest with you, because like it's like it's just like describes the I'd say the you know, a lot, the scams that people can go through. But let's jump to our first story.
Mistakes with like e-commerce and things like that. But so far, just going back, so it's the middle of June, it's the 10th of June, it's the end of Q2. You know, do you think that sort of people, even business people, are thinking of the summer? Do you think that, you know, next week there's a big advertising festival in Cannes, mm-hmm. and people will go there? So a lot of people do take time off over the summer, business people, but they also use it to build. Like a lot of startup founders are sort of doubling down in engineering. There's not as many events, there's not as many as customers and things like that. Do you think that the mindset shifts as well for entrepreneurs?
I think honestly not. I don't think it does shift, but I think that a lot of entrepreneurs start during the summer because like it gets busier and more traffic comes in through during the winter. Mm. That's when a lot of like the businesses actually do start developing through.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, for Eid, we did a story about one of the e-commerce platforms, you're able to order sheep as well in Egypt and things. So seasonal activities, Eid al-Adha is sacrifice as well. A lot of seasonal activities do see an uplift in business activities.
Yeah.
You know, for celebrations, for ordering and for tourism, you know, we know the airports are going to be very busy next week and a lot of tourist industry. But of course, the UAE, the Gulf region is particularly hot, but that doesn't mean that the wider Arab region won't have an uplift in tourism this summer. You know, places like Lebanon and on the coast of Egypt and places like that as well.
Agreed.
So it's a big summer ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Honestly, like during the summer, countries, their economy grows and it becomes better because tourism does as well increase.
Yeah,
you
things
know?
Like wedding season and stuff.
Yes.
I was driving down Sheikh Zayed Road and you know immediately it's travel season, like
yes.
because all the ads are promoting something. They're
True.
either an airline or a destination or even luxury items that you can get.
That's
you know,
true.
I saw bags and all this sort of stuff.
Yes.
So very much brands are thinking of it's which products can we push now for travel season?
100%. The other day I was driving and I have seen an airline, you know, having let's say an offer to travel because it's travel season and as well, you know, it's better for their economy for the travel agency. And they do these things and these offers, of course. And you can see, by the way, like during the summer, as you said, like wedding season, there are as well a lot of I'm not getting married or anything, but there are a lot of like offers coming through my Instagram page. Like, hey, if you want a wedding or if you want an engagement, you can get through all of these things for this much amount of money, which is really, by the way, I would say it is a catch for someone who is actually getting married.
Yeah, definitely. No, there's
yes.
a lot like, yeah,
yes.
there's a lot of stuff going on.
100%.
I'm in that boat as well. But so there's a lot of things to plan and things like that. It's quite an interesting time. It's an interesting time to make the most of the summer and enjoy it as well. So as you were saying,
yes.
the headlines today.
So the Emirati father's viral tweet lands on a dream job offer from Amar founder's social media platform. It was via X. He witnessed a huge response in support of Emirati student Ahmed Ibrahim Al-Shamsi after his father's spontaneous tweet questioning his son's graduation venue. Moments later, Muhammad Al-Abbar, founder of Amar Properties, offered Ahmed a job. Ahmed's father, Ibrahim Al-Shamsi, shared his surprise at the overwhelming reaction, which included comments, job offers, and gifts. This gesture from Al-Abbar reflects the unity within the UAE and so on, which by the way, it's very exciting because I think when Ahmed Al-Abbar offered the son the work, it's because he's investing in the upcoming generation. And sometimes we do tend to like think of investment as like, hey, payments and so on, but investments can come in forms of people.
Yeah, I agree. What was wrong with the venue?
There was a problem with the graduation venue, and of course they tweeted, but the guy did not tweet specifically about the graduation venue. However, he tweeted about the his son wanting to find a job and so on. He's graduating.
And having Al Amar gave him a job. And
yes.
So Emar is a conglomerate, right? It's got hospitality, it's got retail, it's got malls, and we see the
True.
Big announcements of the Dubai Mall
yes.
expanding. Also, if you follow Hamad Al Amar on Instagram, he posts a lot about new places that he's opening. He's opening somewhere in Riga and Latvia, which is quite interesting, the countries that he's choosing to do developments in. Of course, you know, there's other parts of the region as well. But I just wonder where this person is going to join, because they've got Noon, which is a massive e-commerce platform too.
Exactly. I mean, we don't know where he is going to be joining yet. But he has mentioned that he will be, because like, you know, like he wants to showcase the impact of social media and fostering the positive environment for graduation, right? So he will be joining the Amar.
Yeah, I could join anywhere in the group.
Yes, anywhere.
If you had a choice, if you were starting out and you had a choice across the Amar mm-hmm. group, where would you pick?
That's a very tricky question, because maybe I am not, maybe I would pick
the social media departments, like
yeah.
you work on his comms team, so you could kind of do content for them, as opposed to being an e-commerce executive at Noon or a real estate salesperson.
I wouldn't say real estate.
Okay.
No, that's I think I'd fail miserably at that. However, I think maybe I would work as a social media person with. Maybe Dubai Mall.
Okay, it's a good, like they have good brands, right? Like
they
it
do.
Would be a good career. It'd be
yes.
good, yeah, absolutely.
100%.
You know what they've also done lately? A friend of mine actually is involved, but so Hamad Al Amar believes in that lifestyle and wellness is the future of all
yeah.
his developments and communities. So he's built a brand, or they have, called VO. And
okay.
VO is the Emar basically wellness club and gym. So all the developments now of Emar are going to have a VO gym built in, which is quite smart, because it branches them into another area of wellness and the gym industry without like sort of letting other people. There's so many cool gyms now in Dubai popping up, but the Emar communities are going to have these VO gyms as well.
I mean, honestly, like it's. I think Amar and Ahmed Labar, they're just like very smart, because like they're investing in things that the people want right now, the residents want, you know, for the residents' well-being, whether it's like gyms, malls.
Why do you think that they don't do a media company? Because they tried some content before, but I think it was done in the marketing aspect and it didn't sort of come across as media, right?
I think,
because we were talking last week, you and I, about Al Habtour launching mm-hmm. a media channel.
Media channel.
And why do you think Emar haven't?
I think because launching a media channel requires a lot of effort. Maybe their expertise rely more of like.
Actually, do you know what? They do have one.
They do?
Well, kind of. So you know the way the cricket, the T20 World Cup is on at the moment in the US. We just saw last night the Pakistan.
Yeah.
Lost to India. So basically, Noon have the rights for cricket streaming as
okay.
a streaming service,
yeah.
the same way that Amazon Prime do streaming as
yeah.
well. So Noon, we don't know how active it is, but Noon have tapped into that, just like Reliance and Jio in India are doing streaming as well. So it's interesting that Noon have sort of done that as well and tapped into cricket. Not necessarily a media company, they buy the rights, but they have a streaming service. I don't know, you obviously haven't used it, neither have I, but but it is interesting that, like, you know, when you have a huge conglomerate, like imagine you get a job with Emar and you go, hey, I'm going to work in the streaming division of Noon, you know?
That would be very cool. Actually, not only Noon was streaming it as well, I was watching a movie with my family this weekend, and Roxy as well is streaming the game, which is very cool, I would say. However, I don't know, honestly, maybe their media would be not different from the media that I would want to.
Yeah, but it just goes to show, like you mentioned Roxy there, like that's another chain under a different developer.
Yes.
And of course, Emar have their own cinema
True.
Brand, Real Cinemas.
Yeah.
So as soon as you unpack these conglomerates, it's not just, hey, I'm working for the address downtown or whatever,
yeah.
or Dubai Mall. You kind of go, oh, they have Noon, they have cricket streaming, oh, they have cinemas, you know?
Yes.
And you kind of go, oh, I could really, you know, you could really learn a lot under that. I was listening to a podcast last week Malik Fouad, she does a podcast called What I Did Next, mm-hmm. and she interviewed a guy called Mohammed Al-Fayed, similar, I think, to the famous Egyptian who owned Harrods, similar name. Anyway, this guy was in the US, and his first job was under Macy's conglomerate, mm-hmm. and Macy's owned lots of different things. So he said it was an amazing entry into the retail world, and he came into this region, to Altair, and he eventually set up Digital Altair, and out of that ecosystem, grew a few websites for their brands, and one of the websites was Unas. So mm-hmm. if you think about it, right, like the reason he was so good at retail and so good at all this stuff is because he joined a huge group that he could learn everything across the way, you know? So it's fascinating.
I mean, it is, but let me ask the question that you asked me to you. If you would work at Amar, where would you want to work?
Social media department. I mean, yeah, totally. Like when I was your age and when I was his age, the graduate, like, but that was in 2006. Yeah. I wanted to work in social media. Mm-hmm. I wanted to work in digital marketing. Mm. So that for me would have been a client side job.
Yeah.
So, but I would have worked in the social media department. But like as time has evolved, you know, I wanted a job in marketing, but actually my passions are kind of a little bit business now, but you know, sport, I like sport, I get excited about it. But yeah, like I would be pitching him to take this media thing further, mm-hmm. and to do it in a new media way. Like if he, you know, like we were talking last week, Farah, that a lot of the money in the region goes to the tech platforms,
yeah.
In the US, a lot of the advertising of the $6 billion spend. And the reason why Ahmed Al-Abar set up Noon is because he wanted something out of this region. He made a joke once that he said if Jeff Bezos of Amazon came to his house for dinner, he'd spike his food. In other words, keep it in the region.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a passionate leader who wants to build for this region, wants to hire people like this, Arab graduates, Emirati graduates, create jobs for them, you know, create the economy in the region. So I would say to him, then why don't we build our own media channel, mm-hmm. whether it's a TikTok or a Facebook or even just a streaming service that can compete with Amazon and things like that, and Amazon Prime, but also the tech platforms like Facebook and Google and all of the others. Why not? Someone like that's ambitious, and so are we. All
right. Yes, I mean, you never know. Maybe Mohammed Al-Abad is listening to us, but it's fine. Maybe he might just like reach out. But let's talk about Starbucks.
I think we should tweet him, and we should tweet because he's replying to tweets. So let's put this on
yes,
Twitter in
exactly.
Arabic. Yeah,
he replies to Twitter. So and I can write a very good Arabic tweet to
go.
Him.
There you go.
And
done deal. Next week, we'll do the signing ceremony right on the show.
Splashy yes.
Business is now part of the Imar conglomerate. Okay.
Why not? You never know. So Starbucks reports global sales decline of 1.8% amid boycotts, which is the biggest drop in the U.S. market in years in recent months. Starbucks has encountered a series of challenges that have led to a decline in sales figures. The company's troubles stem from a combination of factors that start with the boycott movement due to the Gaza genocide, which then resulted in sales decrease. And according to the BBC, even some of the Starbucks' most loyal customers are joining the boycott. Active participation among rewards members saw a rare 4% decline compared to the previous quarter, which is believed to be a consequence of price increase resulting from overall sales decline amid boycotts. Now, these controversies have taken a toll on Starbucks' bottom line, with the company reporting a 1.8% decline in global sales at the start of 2024. In the United States, its largest market sales at stores open for at least a year dropped by 3%, making the most significant decline in years.
It's an interesting ongoing story, Farah, mm-hmm. and you explained all the detail there and covered the global impact
yes.
of this. It's an interesting story. I think some of the headlines in FT, particularly over the weekend, said that they've got issues internally, that
yes.
there's infighting.
Yes.
And, you know, up until now, we've been very granularly looking at a local market issue. And, of course, the franchise owner in UAE do it, and a Kuwaiti company, Al-Shire, do an incredible job at giving back to the community. And, you know, they have many other brands as well. But we have seen a slump. And, you know, I'm just reading here that in other Muslim majority markets like Indonesia, Starbucks have donated $314,000 to provide 100,000 meals to people in Gaza. So there's a lot of stuff happening there. It is impacting sales. We could get the numbers, but 1.8% would be significant this year. And we're seeing it across other sectors as well. But you know, going back to the last point about homegrown and building for the region, I was in Egypt last week with our team, and I met the CEO of a company called Breadfast. Mm-hmm. And Breadfast is basically, it's many things, but one of the things it is the Starbucks of Egypt. It started in 2017 just delivering fresh bread to homes, and bread is obviously a big part of breakfast and everything
specifically in Egypt
and across the region, but it's very important to have fresh bread in the morning.
That is true.
So they invented the really impressive group of founders. I met with Mustafa, the CEO, but there's three of them. And in 2017, they got fresh bread delivery. So they mastered the last mile logistics. Mm-hmm. And then they launched their own brand and groceries, and they grew out of it. But they're still called Breadfast, but they're groceries. So think of like El Grocer or InstaShop, they're that. But also think of coffee, right? They have 17 stores in Egypt with their own label coffee and their own roastery and their own beans called Breadfast. They have their own... And that'll grow to 50 stores by the end of the year. A few months ago, they launched in Saudi with bread only. Mm. Farah, 40% of their, if not 60, I think I remember the number being 40, of their products on the grocery app is own label. So Breadfast, they've raised, they won't say exactly how much, but roughly $100 million. So they haven't admitted, but I think they're a unicorn.
Yeah.
They're on Series B, nearly Series C, I think. And so they're nearly a unicorn. And people are kind of thinking like the future of Starbucks in this region and the future of these things. I wouldn't be surprised in the future, in 10, 15, 20 years, we see more Breadfast popping up across the UAE than we do Starbucks.
That is true, by the way. And not only that, I think, honestly, with what's happening in Starbucks and the boycotts and all of that, it's allowing other businesses, like local businesses, to actually shine through, and they are doing better.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I was talking about the... Mm. Yeah, you're right. Like, I think there is that point about local businesses as well, absolutely. Like local coffee shops. And that's great. That's great. But I think... you know, the reality is that these chains, these franchises, do have more power to spread across the way.
Sure.
And it would be good if it wasn't just the local homegrown coffees up against the mm-hmm. global ones, that if we had our own global chains in this region, similar to the streaming services, then it would be good as well.
100%. You know, however, of course, like we can, I've been with Starbucks ever since the genocide has begun, and the boycotts have actually initially... you know, wanted to began as well. We just like keep on seeing a decrease in the numbers of their shares. They as well, you know, like let go of a lot of, employers as well, which is very kind of like sad. However, of course, the number is not easy. Like 1.8% is not something little for Starbucks, specifically in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I mean, look, we all need jobs. It's fundamental to the economy mm-hmm. and everything like that. But if we are thinking of the people of Gaza, that you know, we're, you know, they're the ones who need bread and who need coffee the most. So,
100%.
I did see a stat that the price of one cigarette is $10 on the streets of Gaza at the moment. So it just shows, and we knew that from our two journalists who were there, although they haven't been able to work, but we knew that the prices had increased.
100%.
People were saying we can't get money in or whatever, but it's not a sanctioned country. It's just hard to transmit cash, but basically there is need for money in Gaza. They do need to pay for things, and just you know, the principles of economics, scarcity means when something's in short supply. Thank you. The price goes up,
and
so there is an economy there, but it's just everything's 10 times more expensive.
100%, and that's what's been happening. You know, like because like. What's happening in Palestine is the fact that they know that the people of Gaza and Palestine, they want these things, the daily essentials. And so because of that, and they want money, they want to take the money out of the people of Gaza and Palestine, they increase the price. And by the way, this happens in every country that has faced war. It has happened, like, I would say, in my country as well, and in
Syria,
every country.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely. For sure. I mean, the economy went down, you know, the £1 of like the Syrian pound, or like the same goes for like Palestinian.
Absolutely.
And it's like a like a lot of like United States dollars. But yeah. Let's jump to our next story. So, which by the way is a very funny story. So, Egyptian customer orders $631 iPhone from Amazon and receives a packet of local tea instead. Now, this is a very funny story. It's not one off occurrence for Amazon customers in Egypt. On this Facebook group, there are dozens of posts from customers who ordered expensive products, mostly smartphones and tech gadgets, only to receive empty boxes, Apple power banks, or other random items like paper or bags of pasta. Lol. The comments mostly criticize the buyer for purchasing from Amazon, which is on the boycott list instead of buying from local sellers. This, of course, angered the customers and ended with eventually deleting the post. This, by the way, is not a good look for Amazon.
Yeah.
Because it's not the only, it has happened as well, like, not once, but if it happened more than once, it's not a good look for Amazon because like, why are you allowing such products to be sold via Amazon?
Yeah.
And why would someone buy a tech product from Amazon? Like, yes, because people think that it's cheaper from Amazon.
Well, the other reason they do is because imports in Egypt, the tariffs are so high. Like, I remember trying to buy an iPhone cable in Egypt, and it's just super, super expensive. So to get Apple products in Egypt is so hard. Mm. So people have to ship them in. And obviously needs reliable e-commerce websites. You know, there's a Facebook group and there's dozens of posts where customers order expensive products on Amazon in Egypt, mostly smartphones and tech gadgets, only to receive empty boxes, Apple power bank and others. So people are scamming there. It's not a good look for Amazon, but it just reflects the, you know, again, going back to the point, we need cross-border trades. We need low tariffs. We need... this is what these are how economies are built, the fiscal policies of the government. You can't be taxing everything that comes in and out because you know, you need investment. You need basically trade, because if you have trade, you can have better economics and better economies.
100%.
So you know, there should be local suppliers. We should have an Apple store or an equivalent to Apple in Egypt. And people shouldn't have to go and buy online and they get scammed out of it. This is super frustrating, though. I can imagine when people, their hard-earned money and the currency's been devaluated many times to try and buy this product. And then what can you do? Who's going to help you when the box shows up with a bag of tea?
100%. And we know, by the way, as well, like in Egypt, the currency in Egypt has really gone down. It's not really doing that well. The economy in Egypt as well is not the greatest yet. Of course, you know, we hope it, just like everything, like the currency in all of the countries are just like, you know, back to normal. But sadly, this is the situation. And this brings us to the end of our show. Thank you, Richard, for joining me.
Thank you, Farah. Have a good week, everyone. Bye-bye.